The Holy Gospel this day comes from John in the 10th chapter. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." The Gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Psalm 23 is the most well-known in our psalmody. So much so that it's easy to have the words sort of just meander by and for us to sometimes not really listen to them. So if you'll indulge me for a moment, I'm going to read it in a meditative way. And I invite you to find a comfortable position in your seat, to close your eyes if you wish, to take a few second breath to breathe. Just breathe in to let it out. And just for this little bit of time, let these words sink in. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Those are beautiful, beautiful words. And we often hear these words read at the bedside of those who are dying and at funeral services. And I can see why. Because they're comforting, right? They comfort us. But this psalm is not just for the dying. It's also for the living. It's for life in the here and now. And it's about life abundant. The Lord as shepherd is a common metaphor, and it's found all over the Hebrew scriptures. Moses was a shepherd of his father-in-law Jethro's flock. King David was a shepherd. So when Jesus calls himself the good shepherd, this is a very relatable image to the disciples who are hearing this. In fact, it reveals the sort of relationship that God intends to have with us. The Lord is shepherd and host, who guides and protects and provides, who sets a table with cups overflowing. And you and I are simply recipients. Our role in this psalm is nothing else but to receive with grateful hearts and thanks. In this way, we come to know our shepherd. We come to know and trust and follow because the shepherd is proven, steady, and dependable. The shepherd is known by the sheep, not only by voice, because after all, sheep have very good hearing, I discovered this week. But the sheep know the shepherd by actions, words substantiated by love. Because look at the verbs in this psalm. The shepherd makes them lie down. The shepherd leads, restores, is with them, prepares, anoints. My friends, we see a God at work, choosing to be known in acts of love and grace. So this week I spent a little bit of time researching sheep, you know, like you do as a pastor. And I learned that sheep rely heavily on their herding instinct, strength and numbers for safety. And because they're prey animals, sheep have evolved to not show recognizable signs of suffering or weakness. This means that most people will not notice the subtle changes in their behavior that indicate a sheep may be in pain or distress. However, a good shepherd who knows their sheep will notice. A good shepherd knows their sheep. And my friends, to be known by God is to belong. God knows you. God created you. There is a part of God's own image that dwells within you. Another beloved psalm says that you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I don't think that we are all that different from sheep in the sense that we too learn to hide our pain and our distress or our suffering. After all, we live in a culture that prizes strength and happiness and independence. We're conditioned to put on a good face and smile through the pain. And Facebook and social media are really good at making us think that we are the only ones who struggle, that we are somehow the oddity. There are a lot of other voices, even well-intentioned ones, that compete for our attention. Voices telling us who we should be or what we should look like or how much money we should earn. Voices that define happiness and success. And this creates enormous pressure. Rates of depression and anxiety are at an all-time high. And more people feel alone today than any other generation. And then there is this voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who says, "Come to me, all that you are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is the voice that I long to hear over and over and over again. And my favorite detail from Psalm 23 is in the final verse, where it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Except that this translation is a little too tame. When we look at the original Hebrew, the word for follow is best translated as pursue, to chase after. The psalmist is saying that God's goodness and mercy actually pursues us all the days of our life, chases us down, never stops running after us. Just like a shepherd pursues their sheep, especially the ones that are prone to wander. The crucified and risen Jesus pursues you with all goodness and mercy, so that you may have abundant life, where sin and fear and shame and death are conquered on the cross, where God's love wins the day, where new life and resurrection has the final word. As a pastor, you get a lot of junk mail and spam, especially around the holy days. Advertisements and articles and such. And a few weeks ago, I read an article that was in my inbox. Fortunately, it's not from our denomination. And it was talking about how to connect with people who come on Easter, who are visitors, and how to connect with them and invite them to come back, especially if they're looking for a new church home. And it recommended following this pattern with visitors, where you send them text messages and emails afterwards saying, "We're so glad that you came and visited us," which is great. But then it recommends that you send an email, and it gives you this template. And it says, "We're so glad that you have visited us. Here are the next steps for you to connect with us." And the first step in their process was for you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because salvation is your next step. And only after this are you then invited to join a small group, a Bible study, begin serving. So the pattern is belief and then belonging. Now that is one approach. But on a Sunday like this, when we hear about Jesus as the Good Shepherd, I think that to be known by the shepherd is to belong. Finding rest from weary burdens is to belong. To be pursued with goodness and mercy is to belong. And it's through belonging and being in a genuine, safe community like this one with each other that we can begin to believe and to trust. It's community in Christ that's gathered around word and meal, which brings about wholeness and restoration for you and I. This is God's marvelous doing in Christ. The Good Shepherd knows you by name. The Good Shepherd calls you by name. The Good Shepherd leads you beside still waters and pursues you with all goodness and mercy all the days of your life. May it be so for you this day. Thanks be to God. Amen.